Well, God bless and greetings to all of you wonderful people. In the wonderful name of our living Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the opportunity of again being at the Indiana campus. I am blessed that Robert Belt and Joe, the limb leaders of the state of Indiana, are here tonight. And along with you beautiful twig leaders from the northern part of Indiana, and all of you wonderful Indiana saints that have come in for this occasion. I'm also honored, as is the Board of Trustees, to have Mr. and Mrs. Olli Pekkarinen here from Finland as our guests for 10 days or 2 weeks. And this, of course, is something that the Way International Board of Trustees believes is just fantastic for our ministry and the children of our ministry. And we're real thankful to have both Mr. and Mrs. Olli Pekkarinen here with their son, along with all you beautiful saints. So, tonight I thought, since all these great twig leaders were in here from across the state, I'd choose a topic called The Twig Leader's Delight. Somebody said I should have called it The Twig Leader's Sunday. When our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ began his public ministry in an official way, his first spoken words were, "It is what?" Those were his first spoken words when he opened his public ministry. "It is written." Tonight, I want to show you it is written for the twig leaders. And that it is written is the twig leaders' delight. In Psalm 24, where I'd like to begin tonight, Psalm 24. The earth is whose? The Lord. The earth is whose? The Lord. At best, all man ever does is rent a little space on it for a while. He never owns it. You hear people talking about buying a farm or buying land. Who's it belong to? That's right. All they do is pay a high price for rental. The earth is the Lord's. And what? The fullness thereof. The fullness thereof. And you and I belong to the Lord. We are His. God is our Father. We are His children. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness, what? So therefore, the fullness thereof belongs to whom? The Lord, and to us, His kids, the Lord's children. The Lord's children, the fullness of thereof, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and we are His children, and children always share in what the Father has. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that what? For He, God, hath founded it upon the seas, and He has established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath, or who hath, clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn what? Deceitfully. Remember, I'm teaching tonight on the twig leader's delight. He who hath clean hands, pure heart, not lifted up his soul unto what? Nor sworn what? Deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from whom? the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy faith, O Jacob. And then comes the word what? Salah. The word Salah means consider this which has been said. That's what the word Salah means. Consider these words. Consider what has been said. That's the first scripture for the twig leader's delight. The next is Psalm 23. The Lord is my what? I shall not what? This is what is spoken to Israel before the day of the church of the body to which you and I belong. And he even promised them that he'd be their shepherd. He'd take care of them, for they were his sheep. We are not God's sheep. We are God's sons and daughters. But he said he'd take care of his sheep. He would be the shepherd, and the sheep would have no what? Want. No want. No want. God supplies the promise of the word to the church of the body. God supplies all our needs according to his what? Riches in glory through whom? He'll supply all our need. To Israel, he already said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is the shepherd. Israel shall not want. Want, right? He, God, maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You have to know a little bit about sheep to know what the joy for a sheep is to lie down in green pastures. You know what that means? They've eaten so much they can't eat anymore. They lay down among the food. The green pastures, that's right. They're so full, nothing else they can do. They just lie down. They just lay down in the green pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Sheep cannot drink in rough water. They can only drink when the water is smooth and quiet. God, he said, he'd lead them besides what? Still waters so they could drink. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no what? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? And the third great scripture for you twig leaders' delight is Psalm 21. 23, I mean. I just read that. I want to go to Psalm 21. Psalm 21. The king shall rejoice in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's what? And hast not withholden the request of his lips. And there is the word Salah. Meaning doing what? Consider this. Consider this. For thou preventest, thou dost meet is the text. Him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest him even length of days forever and ever. You see, the twig leader's delight has even from Old Testament times been the word. It's been the word. In the Gospel of Matthew, Chapter 4. I'd like for everybody to turn to it. Matthew chapter 4. In verse 16 of chapter 3, it states, "And Jesus, when he was baptized," or after he had been baptized, and you know this occurred in the Jordan by John the Baptist, "went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, This is my what? Beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This voice from heaven is God speaking. When Jesus Christ was baptized and he came up, there was the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, like a dove. That's why we in the Way Ministry wear a dove. The dove represents God's presence, God's blessing. The dove represents peace. The dove is the only animal in the world that has no gallbladder, so it has no bitterness. That's the dove. Saw heavens open and a dove descending upon Jesus. And then the voice said, "This is my what? Beloved Son, in whom I am what?" God had only one son. He should be able to remember it. Some of your daddy and mommies had more than one son, and they can remember how many they had. God having only one, and he being the creator of the heavens and the earth, he should have been able to remember it, right? It's not God's fault that all the clergy and the theologians and the screwball religionists are all confused about Jesus Christ. That's not God's fault. The Word of God says, God said, "This is my beloved what?" If he would have been God, God would have said, "This is me, folks, down there." How simple, people, God's word is. How simple. But you see, tradition confuses people. And then tradition becomes more important than the revealed word of God. For us in the Way Ministry, it's the word, and nothing but the word, because it is what? Written, that's right. And if this is wrong, if the revealed written word is wrong, then we go down with the ship. John Paul Jones. Then we have nothing. But if we have nothing, what about the rest of the world? They got to have a lot less. D-class, no communication, people. No communication from God. No communication could be plainer than the simplicity of the truth of God's word. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am what? Well pleased." Now we go to the next verse. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit in the wilderness, being tempted of the devil, is the text. To be is a participle form, being. Tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was a little hungry. Some of my core kids get hungry between 12 and 5 every day. You poor people. Verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he, Jesus, answered and said, "It is what? Written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up in the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is what?" Wow. The devil knows it's written also. He knows it. He knows the scripture. So he quoted him the scriptures, but he quoted it out of context. Sounds real modern. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again. It is what? Written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth to him all the kingdoms of the world, and all the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I what? Give thee, if thou wilt fall down and what? Worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is what? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. What a tremendous record in those 11 verses. You see, no revelation class, no communication could be plainer or clearer, indicating our spiritual battlefield as twig leaders. Because it's the veracity of God's word that is again at stake. If it is written, class, it must be with words, W-O-R-D-S. And the words that are put together have to equal the word, W-O-R-D, written. It is by words, W-O-R-D-S, that thoughts are made known. It is by words that the will of God is revealed. No man can know the will of God without knowing the word of God. Those words by Jesus Christ, it is written, were enough to halt the devil in his assault and attack upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Just those three words, it is written, those words alone were enough to halt the devil in his attacks and his assault upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Three times in here, our Lord Jesus Christ spoke those words, it is written, three times in those verses. And he never spoke any other words until the final four words in verse 10, when he said, get thee hence, Satan. That's the opening of Christ's ministry. Officially, he opened it with the word. It is what? Written. The word, it is written. Now I'd like to take you to the close of Christ's ministry and show you the same truth. John. Gospel of John. To me, it's significantly interesting that in the close of his earthly ministry, which was less than 1 year, he refers to the written word again three times. Gospel of John, chapter 17. Verse 1 says, these words spake Jesus, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy what? I told you these words that I'm going to share were from the time at the close of his earthly ministry. 17, verse 8. Jesus said, "For I have given unto them the what? Words which thou what? Gavest me." In verse 14, "I have given them thy what? Word." And in verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what?" Three times at the opening of his public ministry, he wrote, "It is written." He said, "It is written." Three times at the close of them, he takes them right back to the word of God again. You see, people, the beginning and end of every true ministry is the word of God. It is written. It is written. Those men and women who are secured on that foundation of God's wonderful revealed word will never err. Any other foundation class but the word is insecure. I'd like for you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. Verse 18. "Who concerning the truth have what? Erred." Who concerning the truth have erred. Concerning the truth, they have become insecure. They've blown it. They've erred. But in verse 19 it says, "Nevertheless the foundation of God standeth what? Sure." The people have blown it. They've erred. Yet the foundation, the truth of God's word, that it is written, standeth what? Sure. Look at chapter 3. Verse 8, "So do these also who resist the what? Truth." Resist the what? Truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate. Men of corrupt minds, men who resist the truth. In chapter 2, 18, it talked about them who had erred concerning the what? Yet he says the foundation remained sure. Over here in chapter 3, verse 8, it said, they not only have erred, but they have done what? Resisted. They resist the what? Truth. They resist the truth. But in verse 14, class, says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast what? Learned." Because the foundation stands sure. People have erred concerning the truth. They even resist the truth, but as a twig leader, do you know the foundation is what? Sure. And you do what? You continue in the things which thou hast what? And what you learned is that it is what? Written. That's right. The one requirement of a steward, of a doulos, of a slave, the one requirement is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness to stay put, honey. No matter what the world says, no matter what people say, if they err in the truth, if they resist the truth, we still stand faithful. We are God's twig leaders. And the delight of being a twig leader is the written word. We stay faithful. You see, people, if they will not believe God's word, they'll never believe my word. when you read to them and share with them God's Word. If they will not believe God's Word, honey, they'll never believe yours. They won't believe God's Word, sir. They'll never believe yours. And the other side of the coin is, if God's Word will not do it, I guarantee you, your Word surely will never do it. You and I have to trust and rely upon the power of God's Word. It is what? That stopped the adversary in his tracks. By Jesus Christ, stopped him in all of his attacks. Everything. Just those words, it is written. In chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, they shall turn away their ears from what? Right. People not only err concerning the truth, they not only resist the truth, but they close up their earballs. They turn away their ears from what? They turn away from the truth of God's Word and read something around it. Read what somebody else said or read something else. They turn away their ears from the what? Truth. Our one duty and responsibility, people, is to do what it says in verse 2. Preach the what? Preach the Word. That's our responsibility. No matter if they've heard, no matter if they've resisted, no matter if they've turned their ear away from the truth, every time we speak to someone, we preach the Word. Preach the Word. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing different. Always the Word, and nothing but the Word. Preach the Word. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing different. Just the Word, people, the Word. And to do that, you got to open the book. Nehemiah says so, chapter 8. Want to go there? It's in the Old Testament someplace. Nehemiah chapter 8. It was a great day in the day of Israel's time here in chapter 8 of Nehemiah. Because the scrolls, the word book is the word scrolls, had been lost. They had been covered up in the debris. But when they came back to rebuild the temple, they found the scrolls under the dust and the dirt and the plaster and the debris. That's what they had thought of the scrolls of the Word of God previously. Nothing. But they came back out of captivity and they found the scrolls, which is the Word of God. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man. I'm in verse 1, chapter 8. As one man. Boy, when you've got thousands of people and they're like one man, something's going to happen. And they spoke unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law, the scroll of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein, before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday. He read from the scroll, the Word of God, from morning till midday, before the men and women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law, the scroll. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a platform, a pulpit of wood, a platform which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood these fellows. And verse 5, Ezra opened the what? Book. Ezra opened the what? The book. He opened the scroll. That's why I said you preach the word. Nothing but the word. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing different but the word, the word, the word, and nothing but the word. And to do that, you have to open the book. You open the book to people. Ezra opened the book. Opened the book. He didn't go to Playboy magazine. Some pornographic junk. He didn't go to the Rig Vedas. Or to something out of Buddhism. He didn't go to some theologian or minister or clergy. He went back to the book. The book, the book, the word, the word. It is what? That's right. And he read from the what? The book. And when he opened it, when he unscrolled it, all the people stood up. The people stood up because they remembered it was the Word of God. And in respect for the Word of God, they stood up. Well, verse 6, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen and Amen. Lifted up their hands, they bowed their heads, they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Then there's some more people's names in 7. Finally ends up with the Levites in 7. The Levites caused the people to understand the law. That means they taught it, they explained it to them. And the people stood in their place as so they read in the book of the law distinctly, plainly, simply. Not only did they read it, but they gave the what? Sense thereof. They explained it, they gave the sense thereof. And cause them, the people, to understand what? The reading. Cause them to understand the reading. Go back to 2 Timothy. Preach the word. Preach the word. In season, out of season, the word. Nothing but the word. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing different. And to do that, you have to open the book like Ezra of old. You never teach, you never preach to seek something to share that men will endure. They'll listen you out on. That men will tolerate or that men will accept. You preach the word. Preach the word. That preach the word. In 2 Timothy there, chapter 4. That word preach. In this usage here in 4:1 is the Greek word caruso. The word caruso means herald it. The herald who preceded the king, when the king would make an announcement, they were called heralds. They were called carusos because they'd come ahead of the king. And they would, at the top of their lungs, they would yell, hear ye, hear ye, hear ye the word of the king. Then later on, they came with a long like trumpet, and they would blow that trumpet, and the blowing of that trumpet heralding the king's message was called caruso, which simply means here in 2 Timothy 4:2, herald it, blow it, kids, blow it. Blow it loud and long. Make a lot of noise. Because it's the word. It's the word that's going to be spoken and read. And that's the word of God. And he's bigger than any king. God is. That's this word, caruso. Herald it. Trumpet it. Trumpet it out for the Lord. Then there's another word that's translated preach. It is the word eulogaleo. And that word eulogaleo is where we get our English word eulogy. There are two times you have eulogy. The one most people remember is that time of death. Then they have a eulogy, which tells how wonderful people were that they never were, maybe, or things of that nature. Now, since they're dead, you have to say nice things. But I don't know. But that is the word eulogaleo, eulogize. Or at the other time when you introduce someone you like very much or some prominent person, then you eulogize. The word eulogaleo, which is translated preach, means praise. Praise it. Speak it out. Loud it up. That's the word eulogaleo, translated preach. So not only do you herald it forth, you lift it up loudly and praise it, eulogize it. Then there's a third word translated, preach. And that's the word katagaleo. And the word kata means to tell it all the way through, tell it completely. Tell it completely. So you not only caruso it, you trumpet it forth, you lift it up with praise, and you tell it how? Completely, completely. That means, honey, the word, and nothing but the word. And then there's one final word that most of you will remember if you got 10% of the BFA oil class, is a word that appears in Corinthians someplace. It's the word lalelo, L-A-L-E-L-O-N-G-O. Lalelo means the running off of the mouth. That's literally what it means. You see, we're always talking anyway. We might as well say something important. So we caruso the word. We caruso it. We trumpet it forth as twig leaders. This is our delight. To speak the word, speak the word. We herald it forth. We eulogize it. We tell it completely with the running off of the mouth. Those are the four usages of the word preach in the word. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, by the way, it said, preach the word when? In season and out of what? That means all the time. That means it's in. That's why I say preach the word, and nothing but the word. It's always the word. You open the book. A twig leader's delight is that it is what? Written. That puts the responsibility upon God, not upon you as a twig leader. As long as you preach the word, herald it forth, it's God's wonderful, matchless word. And you preach it in season and out of season, which means all the time. Nothing but the word. You preach the word in season and out of season. It's the word that does the work. The thing that has built this ministry is not because I'm smart, but I'm just smart enough to believe God's word is God's will. And that's what I've worked through the years. And it's been the word, honey, that brought you to this meeting tonight. It's not my good looks or my great personality. None of that stuff. It's the what? The word, the word. That's what changed your life, and you know it. And outside of the word, everybody had talked to you before, tried everything else on you, and you never changed. Then why did you change? You heard the what? The word. And the word is still the power of God unto salvation to every man who believeth. It's the word. The word does the work. Because the word is backed up by God. The word is as much God as God is the word. It's the word. And because he, God, and his son Jesus Christ, because he is, you and I, as twig leaders, have. I want to show you a few. Chapter 1. 2 Timothy. Because he is. 1:12. I know whom I have what? And am persuaded that he is able to keep. He is able to keep. He is able to keep. That makes him faithful. Sure foundation. Remember those scriptures a while ago? Sure foundation. He is able to keep. He is able to keep. Because he is one thing. What? Faithful. He is faithful. And in 1:14, that good thing, and the word thing is the word deposit, which was committed unto thee. Because he is faithful, we have the good what? Deposit. In chapter 2, verse 19, remember that? Because he is faithful, we have a sure foundation. The foundation of God standeth what? Sure. The foundation of God standeth sure. Therefore, in verse 21 of chapter 2, we are a vessel unto what? 21 of verse chapter 2. We are a vessel because he is faithful, because it's a sure foundation. We are a vessel unto honor, sanctified and useful. Meat is useful for the master's use and prepared unto every what? Good work. In chapter 3, because he is faithful, he is a sure foundation, we have the word. 3:16, all scripture given by inspiration of God. All scripture God breathed. All scripture God what? Breathed. All scripture God breathed. We have the word, because he is the word. And because he is the word, and because he is the foundation, because he is faithful, we have, as believers, chapter 4, verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of what? Righteousness. There is laid up for me, I have a crown of what? Because he is faithful, I have a good deposit class. Because he is a sure foundation, I am a vessel unto honor. And because It is His word, which is God-breathed, that I have a crown of what? Therefore, having done all, we do what? Stand. Having done all, we just stand. Just stand. That's the twig leader's delight, to hold forth the word. It is what? It will stop the adversary in his tracks, and it will deliver every individual who hears and believes that word. Even if they have heard, even if they've resisted, even if they've turned their ears from the truth, you as a twig leader, you still speak the word, the word, the word, and nothing but the word. Because it is a faithful word, and you are a faithful steward of God. Having done all, we do what? That's why verse 18 of chapter 4 says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every what, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory how long? Forever. The Lord will do what? He'll preserve me. All I have to do is stand. Just stand. And we speak the word. That's the twig leader's delight. Just speak the word. Speak the word. Open the book. Give them an understanding, so they understand the word. And that will set any man or woman free. That will give them answers to life's major opportunities, that they'll get to the place that they know that they know that they know that they know. And having done all, do what? Stand. That's the way ministry. That's what you stand for as a twig leader and as a believer. Okay? Thank you, Father, for the beautiful night. Thank you for the privilege of teaching the word to your people again, and for all your love and grace. And Father, may the greatness of this word live in our day and time. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God bless. I love you. You're the best. Thank you.